arbitrary arrest, infringement on basic freedoms, and other violations against more than 260 members of parliament will be examined when the Human Rights Committee of the Interparliamentary Union, the IPU, meets in Geneva this week. With 19 cases involving 113 elected officials from Africa, the continent has the highest number of MPs whose cases are being considered. They include 11 Eritrean MPs whose fates remain unknown following their arrest in September 2001 after they wrote a letter calling for democratic reform. For more on the African cases, Derek Mbata spoke to Rogier Huzenga, head of the IPU's human rights program.
These cases are from a variety of countries. And I can also say that in these cases, the concerns are also very varied. We have cases of disappearances, cases of the unlawful revocation of parliamentary mandates. We have politically motivated proceedings. We have the disruption of public meetings, alleged violations of the right to freedom of assembly. There is a variety of concerns in these different cases.
Are you at liberty to mention some of the countries that are involved in these cases?
Oh, absolutely. For instance, the committee looks at several cases in the Democratic Republic of Congo, where MPs were detained. Well, there's still the case of Mr. Diomi Ndongala, who is still in detention. There's the case of Mr. Leonard Hitimana in Rwanda, who disappeared in 2003. There is still no real investigation that has tried to shed light on what happened to him. The case of Mr. Ambassazang in Cameroon, who is being prosecuted, and there are concerns about due process. So there is a variety of situations that the committee has been called on to look at.
Yes, I understand there is also the case of 11 Eritrean members of parliament.
There is, in fact, relatively little information on what happened to them, and that's, in fact, one of the biggest concerns for the IPU, is these people, together with four others, who are often referred to as the G15, they wrote a letter to President Afewerki asking for democratic reforms in their country, and they were all colleagues in the fight for independence from Ethiopia. But after they had written that letter in 2001, they disappeared. They were immediately arrested. The four of the 15 who were not arrested were lucky because they were outside of the country. But the 11 were taken away, and we still don't know what happened to them. And so this is of tremendous concern to the committee, and it's been pushing the Eritrean authorities to shed light on the situation of these MPs and also to call on the Eritrean authorities to release them.
What has been the response of the Eritrean authorities?
Well, at the very beginning, through the Eritrean ambassador in Brussels, we were getting some feedback, and they were trying to at least provide us with some information and some justification for having arrested these persons. But after a couple of years, I mean, my view is that the Eritrean authorities were simply not very happy with the fact that the committee was looking into this situation, and they stopped cooperating with the IPU. We've tried to set up many meetings. The committee has suggested an on-site mission, but there has virtually been no response from the Eritrean authorities on this.
What more can the IPU committee do to help protect members of parliament?
Well, even in a very deplorable case like the case in Eritrea, what the committee tries to do is also to unite forces as much as possible. It is important to unite forces because at the end of the day, it's only through persuasion that we will try to obtain information about these persons and hopefully also bring about the release of those who are still alive.
Talking about that, are there any examples of success stories that the committee can cite?
Absolutely. Success stories are always stories where there is something good and bad. I can mention to you, for instance, the fact that Mr. Sam Rainsy, the opposition leader in Cambodia, he was allowed back into the country last year. His situation, it was a situation in which he was sentenced to a long prison sentence, a sentence that the Committee on the Human Rights of Parliamentarians had always considered to be totally inappropriate. And we had always asked the authorities to allow Sam Rainsy to come back to his country as a free man. Now, unfortunately, he was not allowed to stand in the elections. But part of what we have worked for so long happened, which was his return. And there is the release of Mr. Jacques Chalupa, a prominent former member of the parliament of the DRC, who was released not so long ago. So there are many kinds of success stories at different levels, and it also means each time something different depending on the case.